This is the final installment on the COVID-19 series on what's happening in Malaysia. We speak to Aidila Razak from Kini Labs.
Welcome to the Security Lab Podcast.
In your opinion, what additional data that the government can and should provide to enable people like you, me, Prof, to actually look at the data and present a view where it's much more concise, gives us enough depth without revealing personal information and giving us a chance to look at this whole pandemic from a data perspective rather than just a holistic number?
I would say that there are a few low-hanging fruits, data that they already have on hand, which they already have cleaned and sorted for their internal use, which they can share. One is testing figures. I don't understand why Malaysians are not provided testing figures every day, but researchers in Oxford University get them because we have that data from that page, Our World in Data, which is run by Oxford researchers. That can be provided instantly. So because we know that the more you test, the more cases you find. And then if we reach a certain threshold, I say now we're at 5% positivity rate. It means that there is more in the community that we are not testing enough, for example. So those that kind of basic information is very easily shared, can be shared, and it's already available within KDM and already sorted for their internal use. They can release that very easily.
I'm going to find it really funny that someone is going to get Malaysian data from Oxford and not from Malaysia itself. I'm not sure what to say about this.
Yeah, it's very infuriating. I mean, it's there. Right now, we have to go look at that website, Our World in Data, which is run by Oxford, to find testing figures for Malaysia.
I believe Malaysia also has an initiative on open data where they look at publishing data. I've had some interesting looks into some of the data. Like, for example, there was one data set that I saw, which was on number of complaints a particular ministry had about technology that they use, desktops, laptops, printers. So I'm curious as to why they wouldn't use this particular channel to publish that data. I mean, it should be the same initiative within the same government.
Yeah, but things are... the ministries do kind of move in silos, so they may not think that they have to work with this other agency or this ministry that handles the data, for example. But even that initiative, I think, has lots of holes. It's really up to the agency or the government ministry to declare what data they want to send to that organization. They're not obliged or compelled to reveal anything. Back to your first question of what information should be available. One is testing data, and then the other one is the locations I said, which they already have and could easily publish, like how Sarawak does, and also to use My Sejahtera to inform people instead of having contact tracers call these people one by one. And thirdly, I think there needs to be a revision on how they release data at MUKIM level or locality level. They need to understand that people don't know what their MUKIMs are. They know what their taman is, maybe their area like Puchong or Ampang or whatever, but they don't know what their MUKIM is. So it's kind of an effort in futility.
I completely agree with you. I got confused whether I was in Petaling, Damansara or Shah Alam, and I just realized that Shah Alam is actually not even a mukim. So it's a confusing thing that's going on right now.
I don't know where I am right now. Thanks very much. when we talk about, or when we are reporting about digital transformation, whereby the organization is expected to, you know, take on a lot of modern technologies and do wonders, create new revenue streams and things like that. Usually, the first thing they will look at is the data, because data is like a gold mine. Data is the new oil. Data is the new valuable thing. And what a lot of the vendors, the technology vendors, would say is, if there exist silos, data silos in your organization, the first thing you can do is to unite all the data. Put it all into one central place so that you can do more with it. You can do analytics on it. You can like glean insights from it. You can predict stuff and so on and so forth.
I feel like there is an effort to do that through the data.gov.my website, which is run by Mampu, I believe. So the idea is for them to have all the data you would need in from all the various agencies and ministries. But ultimately, because there is no legislation compelling the ministries or the government to reveal that information, it really depends on who wants to share that information or not.
Do we look at the government sharing more data, or what can we do to help stem this pandemic?
Oh goodness, I'm hardly the person with all the answers for this. I mean, everyone's grappling over how do we get these cases down, but because of the area of work that I do, I feel like those three things that I suggested should be made public: the locations, sort out the Mukim thing, and reveal locations according to Taman or I don't know, locality instead, or even your district. Find a better way to reveal information. Mukim does not cut it, and also provide us with testing data. So that's the three things that I think can be done very easily and quickly. But whether or not this stems the pandemic, I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether people are actually going to look at this and realize that, okay, we need to change the way we behave and start trying to limit our movements or whatever, you know. So I'm not sure whether that will actually lead to reducing the pandemic. Controlling the pandemic. But I agree with you earlier that if you have quite a lot of the granular data out there, there may be more people who will be able to pitch in to do more analysis, even provide solutions, technology solutions to contact tracing. And that will definitely help in curbing more infections.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now, back to the show.
Besides contact tracing, do you think that there are any other technologies that we can use? I mean, Singapore has introduced proximity tracing. There's also the other flip side where there are countries that don't use contact tracing, but have had success managing this pandemic.
Firstly, I don't think there's no country that doesn't use contact tracing. Contact tracing is the most basic in epidemiology, so like controlling an infection. That's the most basic thing. They may not use very advanced technology for contact tracing. They may do it very manually by interviewing people and going door knocking or calling. That's still contact tracing. Everyone does contact tracing. It's just how you do it and what sort of advanced technologies you use. So when you say like, how else can we do it besides contact tracing? That's no, contact tracing is what everyone does.
But actually I was just having, I was just reading this article some time ago, and something that you mentioned also was that the data is pretty much sitting between different government organizations, right? So somewhere in April of 2020, it was mentioned that the data sits, well, that basically it's a collaboration between NSC, MOH, MAMPU, MCMC. And then in November, same year, it was said that the data is monitored by NACSA and NSC. as a common person, it kind of gets to me that, you know, I kind of tend to think, where exactly is my data? Is it with one organization? Is it across multiple organizations? Who actually has visibility across it all? Is it managed separately? Because, you know, it kind of, the most data sources you have from a security standpoint, I think it becomes a little more challenging to manage that. So I'm just curious about it. It's kind of an open-ended question, not necessarily looking for an answer at this point.
I myself am also curious about where my data is sitting, you know, on the MySajatra website that when I visited it, which was quite some time ago. They have like a information, or in the FAQ section, they would say that data is held by, I can't recall which organization, but it sounded as though only MOH personnel would have access to the data, meaning they will be able to view the data. If I remember correctly also, they would be holding the data for a certain amount of time only, after which the data will be destroyed. But I think it's causing a lot of questions as well among MySajatra users or those who are thinking to join to register to MySajatra app, whether this is actually followed through. Have you heard anything about this?
I just went through the FAQ. Now, this is what it says. It says that the information is managed by KKM with assistance from MKN, NSC, or Mampu.
With assistance.
So, yeah. With assistance by NSC and Mampu.
The only person we should ask, or we can ask, is either Mosti or KKM. Well, technically, they should have access to data. But I also think that many other people may have access to the data. We won't know until someone actually does an audit and presents a report and says, yeah, this is how we verified the system.
The wording is interesting, because when I first read it, it sounded as though as few parties as possible would be viewing the data. Managing it, I don't know. Does it involve being able to see the data? Yeah, so it's the wording of the FAQ is interesting. It does not reveal much. It's very obscure, still pretty obscure. And as much as possible, when it comes to something like this, it's like personal information, you know. Usually the ideal situation is that as few people as possible.
Actually, the reason given by KKM for not sharing information with the Sango Task Force for COVID is that they are not part of KKM, therefore they do not have permission to access that information.
But there are still many questions that remain, like, for example, the one that we just brought up about MySajatra and how our data is being managed, how is it being handled, and what actually happens to the data if and when the pandemic goes away. There's no clear answer about this. But I think
I guess the only people who can really answer it would be the people, the MySajatra people. Maybe you should get them on the show.
Yes, that's a very good
They're quite responsive. They're quite responsive on their email. I noticed some mistakes in their data, and I wrote to them, and then they called back to me and then sorted it out.
Oh, awesome. Maybe we can get them to be on the show.
Yes. How do you think we should what kind of data is missing as a data scientist? What do you think should be released for you to be able to get a better idea of what's happening in Malaysia in terms of COVID-19?
Actually, the overarching question I had for you earlier was, do you think better data could equip us to deal with the pandemic? Because to me, I always rely on the fundamental theory that what's not there, we could not find it. Okay, but in this case, I do agree, if we have more information, very granular level data, such as whatever you have mentioned, I do agree, in terms of locality and stuff like that. You mentioned testing figures and all those, they will help. But what I needed was the causal relationship data is not sufficient. For instance, every day we know about death, the number of deaths are being reported. So what I want to know would be, are they death numbers because of COVID, or is there an underlying condition? So it is these type of informations that are hidden from us that makes it very hard for us to draw conclusive evidence of what we are reading and meaningful information from the data, which to this date, it still depends on the government and what they want to release or not.
Actually, the underlying conditions are released.
They are released. Yeah. But the thing is, in for example, when we have a person who's declared, you know, clinically deaf, then what is the cause of death written there? Do we actually know that the person died because of COVID, or is it that the person died with COVID? Is there something?
Yeah, so a few months ago, I don't remember exactly when, the Ministry of Health decided that they wouldn't be putting in cases where someone is positive for COVID but died for other reasons. For example, if they died in a car accident, they would have included in the list. But in cases where they don't know whether COVID had exacerbated the other illnesses and led to death, then they would include it in the death list.
So in that sense, then I would say that the numbers that are reported would like to put it quote unquote misleading, because it creates a different interpretation, different way where we would decide what needs to be done in order to curb the issue on hand.
Meaning what? So because they are excluding the numbers of people who died in car accidents or suicide or whatever, who were positive COVID. So the only deaths that are included in the COVID deaths list are deaths where it cannot be determined whether it was due to COVID or not, or yeah, it can be sure that it is COVID. Yes. And I also think that it's difficult for them to say whether it's an absolutely because of COVID or not, isn't it? Because we don't know. Some of them die of stroke, and that could be exacerbated by COVID or not. So we don't really know that for sure.
So on that end, then I would say that the challenge then is how do we draw meaningful correlations from the data which we have, or in this case, which we do not have, because we are not able to get it.
The data is available, but whether the correlations are confirmed or not, I think that's when scientists all over the world are trying to work that out.
Thanks for joining us this week on Security Lab. Make sure to visit our website at securitylab.asia, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you'll never miss a show.